want to tell you that this is another of Dominica's production, okay?
Amen. Praise God. Good morning to everyone. I know you can do better than that. Good morning to everyone. I promise you, get you out in time to eat the food that's prepared. I know it's good food because I helped prepare some of it myself. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to do my very best to ensure that you're a balanced person when you leave this place. It's one thing to be physically fed, but it's more important to be spiritually fed. Yes. Amen. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be using this mic or this mic. This? Okay. Praise. Try to take care of all the logistics. Amen. Well, it's so great a privilege to be back here with you. I think it was 2 years ago I was invited to speak and to share in the celebrations of our country independence. You know, I'm from Dominica, actually, to be exact. I'm from Portsmouth, and to be a little bit more exact, I'm from Zikak, and to even get more specific, 1802 Rollo Street, Zikak, Portsmouth, Commonwealth of Dominica, WI for West Indies. Amen. We have no zip code, so if you're looking for something, that's everybody's in the same zip. Amen. But it's good to be in the house of God. I take this opportunity very seriously, and I'm happy to be here. My mom is here visiting with us from Dominica, and several of my friends and close friends. My best friend and his wife is here, and we had a good time last night and all throughout yesterday preparing for this event. So it's good to have so many of you here with us this morning. But before we go any further, let's turn to the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings. I'll be speaking out of Genesis chapter 21. I believe the last time I was here, 2 years ago, I started a conversation that, how many of you were here the last time I was here? How many of you remembered what I preached on? Now you can really tell how many people were paying attention. I'm going to put you on the spot. Anybody remember the subject of the message? Okay. Sibling rivalry. You remember that? And we preached on the fight for position. Amen. We preached on the fight for position, and I spoke on Rachel and her children, Jacob and Esau. You remember that? And they fight for position, and all through Jacob's life, he was a trickster trying to get into that rightful position that he knew he was called into. But how many of you know that you cannot use man's method to accomplish God's plan? Amen. So we dealt with that. So today I want to continue on the same line, sibling rivalry, and I want to speak on the subject, the fight for promise. So the last time I did the fight for position, today the fight for promise. So Genesis chapter 21, and let's read from the word of God. It reads, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said." In certain texts it probably says, "just as he had said." "And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him." If you underline in your Bible, which you should, all right, I know some people, you know, not this Bible, this is my Sunday Bible, you don't really do much with it, but bring it out on Sundays, but it's good. You can underline these keywords. He said, "as God had spoken." And verse 3 reads, "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him." I don't know about you, but I don't want no more children. I can't go back to changing Pampers. But Abraham was doing that at 100 years. "And Sarah said, God have made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be here with my son, or shall not inherit the promise with my son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day which you have made. We thank you for the sun that is shining. We thank you for the temperature. We thank you, more importantly, God, for your word that will be brought forth from this place. I pray that you would just cause me to diminish, that you may increase. And I pray that your people will hear your word so eloquently portrayed that, God, they would be able to leave this place saying that they were glad to be in the house of the Lord. We give you praise in advance for all you would do in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. The fight for promise. You know, as I look at this text, one of the things that I find is all throughout my Christian life that most of the struggles that I have are not external to my life with God. They are internal. As I mature as a believer, I find I have more disturbances and more struggles within myself, trying to justify how I live out this life that God has called me to. It's not so much the things on the outside that disturbs me from getting into the place that God has a purpose for me to accomplish. But it's really the things that people don't see. It's the struggle that happens in my mind most of the time that people think everything is all right. And you know how we are in church, that, you know, we know the right time to raise our hands. We know the right time to clap. We know the right times to praise. And all while this is going on, there is this internal conflict going inside of us. It's the internal fight. It's the sibling rivalry. It's the fight that causes us to ask ourselves, like Rachel, if God is doing such a great thing in me, why am I thus? Why is there so much conflict in me? If God said that I would accomplish this, and I have this purpose, I have this dream, I have this vision, but yet still, when I look around me, I find myself nowhere close to what God said I should have been. It's that fight that keeps me up at night trying to figure out, you know, am I heading in the right direction? It's the fight that we have somewhat distanced ourselves from and have become more convenient for us to just live a lie. And what we pass out for ministries today is much more of men's monuments. And you see people establishing monuments for themselves under the disguise of ministry because it's so much easier not to deal with the truth and the conflict that is inside of us. So we find ourselves in the Old Testament in this text, what seemed to be a beautiful occasion, because the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And you know, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these movies where they play the scene and they take you back. Right? And they just kind of reverse you. And the whole movie takes you from scenes after scene and take you back until you understand the first thing they showed you, why it really occurred. So today I want to walk you back so that you can understand what's happening in this first 14 verses here of chapter 21, why we got to that place. Is that all right? Okay. So the Bible says in verse 1 that the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. That's a key word. As he had said. A key phrase here. You see, if you are walking with God, that in itself ought to be some comfort for you this morning. Because the Lord visited Sarah just as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. You see, whatever God says, he will accomplish it. Because his words are yea and amen. He's not like man that he would lie. For the Bible continues in verse 2 and it says, for Sarah conceived and she bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. See, the problem for a lot of us is we do not wait for that time. So I know we're looking at this, and a lot of times when you read the Bible, you go from chapter 12, where God called Abraham, and you go to chapter 13, 14, 15, and you just think, you know, every chapter is like a year, or every chapter is like a day, or every chapter is like some short period of time. But if you really study it, you would recognize that from the time he called him to this time this is happening in chapter 21, there's a span of 25 years. So let's walk back. He says, just as God has said. He said it like multiple times between verse 1 and verse 2. As he had spoken, as he promised in the set time. And if you walk back and you ask yourself, what was this promise God had made? And how many times did God promise Abraham? If you take yourself back in chapter 18, you would see from verse 9 to 15, God promised Sarah that she would bear this child. And when he promised through the voice of an angel that spoke, the Bible says that Sarah heard the angel speaking to her husband. You can read it in chapter 18. And the Bible says that Sarah laughed. And she said, this is ridiculous. I am too old to have a child. She was about 90 to 91 years old at that point. And the Bible says she thought it was ridiculous. She laughed. And when the angels confronted her and said, why did Sarah laugh? She said, I did not laugh. How many of you know if, you know, God said you did something, you might as well just go ahead and own up to it? She said she did not laugh. And in chapter 17, working our way back, verse 1 to 17, again, God promised Abraham. He was 99 years old. And when the angel spoke to him again, he laughed in chapter 17, in verse 18. Of chapter 17, Abraham even began to suggest to God that this child that I've already have, Ishmael, is the one that's going to be the promise. So he's telling God, listen, this child you're telling me, this promised child, I've already have a kid. I just pray that he would live so that he would be the fulfillment of all of these generations and nations that would come from me. In chapter 15 again, that's the third time here. God promised Abraham a son, and he reassures him that the children that were born in his household, which were slave children, would not be that promise. In chapter 13 again, the second time, God promised Abraham, and he said that your seed would be like the dust of the earth, in chapter 13, verse 14 to 18. And then the first time in chapter 12, if you turn to chapter 12, you would see where it all started. Verse 1. Says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So now we see in the fulfillment of that which was promised 25 years ago. So verse 3 of our text in chapter 21. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And the Bible says, and Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. How long will it take you to wait on what God has promised you? That's the question. You see, the problem is, it's not so much the promise. Everybody get excited of the promise. You remember Joseph, he had a dream. He got excited about what God showed him in the dream. And then immediately he find himself being thrown into a pit and ostracized by his very brothers. And the problem that we struggle with as believers is what happens in between the time God gives you the promise and that fulfillment of that promise. How long can we wait on the promises of God? But when you live in a generation when you can get everything so quickly, you remember we used to have to send, you know, a telegram to get a message from England to Dominica. And then when that was, you know, that was an advancement past when we used to have to post a letter that would take about 4 months before you get a reply because it had to go on the boat, the steamer, and go across the oceans, and then the person would,
you know, hopefully get that letter, and then they would write you back, and by the time they write you back, everything was irrelevant from what you wrote. You remember that? Well, maybe if you're not, I might be dating some of you. To know where we are, where you get a text message, and, you know, you have telephones, but nobody speaks on the phone anymore. You have to send a text, and you can get the message instantly. But you see, we live in this generation that's saturated by things that happen so quickly, and somehow we believe that we need to treat our life with God that quickly. That when God gives us a vision, and that God gives us a plan, and God gives us a promise, we want to move ahead of that. So we have people doing all sorts of stuff to advance what God showed them, and people don't wait anymore. It used to be you had to wait when you dated somebody, you actually had to spend some time getting to know that person. You don't need to do that anymore, not in this generation. You just order that bride online. But we don't wait for anything. Abraham waited 25 years for this fulfillment. And you would see he himself struggled with some of that time. So now he has this child, the Bible says. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was finally born. And the Bible says, and Sarah said, God have made me to laugh. You remember she denied that she laughed. And now she's admitting God has made her to laugh. See, that's the type of blessing that I want from God, a blessing that would cause me to laugh. I want God to bless me when the economy is so bad that after he blesses me, I need people to know that it hadn't been for God on my side that I would have been swallowed up. The kind of blessings that I want from God is when everybody is going down, I want God to take me up so that I can't take no credit for it. I want God to bless me when everybody is getting laid off and people are saying, no, there's not going to be any promotion or any raises this year. You're just lucky to have a job. That's when I want God to bless me, because I know when I walk up in the place and I shut my office, I can close my door and close the blinds and I can go to laugh like Sarah, because he has made me to laugh. You see? And the blessing was so ridiculous that Sarah couldn't help herself but laugh. And she said in verse 7, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne in a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast that same day that Isaac was weaned. And something significant here. The Bible says the child grew. The child grew and was weaned. It's debatable at what age this is happening. But based on the culture of the time, it was typical for a child who was 3 to 5 years old to be separated from the mother, particularly if it was a male child. And the child would be separated from the mother, no longer on the breast from the mom, no longer dealing from the milk, and that child would be weaned. But it was more than just the separation from nursing from the mom. It was a separation that included a major celebration, which says that the child had passed a certain milestone. That means that child would probably grow up to be manhood. Because when the children were that young, they were susceptible to the diseases of that time. And most children didn't make it past that 3-year mark. So when the child reached that mark, it was said that the child had developed the immune system that at that age, if a child grew past 3 years old, they would more than likely make it. So there was a great feast that was, set up at that time. And because Abraham was rich, Abraham had accomplished so many things. He was rich in cattle and in sheep and in goats. He was a wealthy man at the time. The Bible says that he threw a great feast that same day. And the Bible says Sarah saw something quite interesting. Verse 9, this is where I'm going to spend most of the time today. The Bible says that Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto him. What was the child doing? Mocking. Now, the question is, who is that child? Who is this woman? Because this is the first time in our text this woman, Hagar, is being introduced. Now, what you must understand again, let's take ourselves back to the beginning. And if you go to chapter 12, you will see where this woman came from. Now, look at chapter 12. In verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. Verse 10 in chapter 12. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, to spend time there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, if you're reading the Bible and you're a student of the word, you would understand that Egypt is a type of the world. So God promised Abraham this land, the land of Canaan. He was living in that land, and there was a famine in the land of Canaan. The Bible says the famine was so grievous that now Abraham decides that he's going to leave from the place that God promised him to the place called Egypt. Because he heard that there was food in abundance in Egypt. So he travels to Egypt. Now what you must understand about this move is not a move that is sanctioned by God. There are many of us who do things in our life that we never sought the word of God. We never asked God advice. We never said, God, is it your will that I should go in that direction? But here is Abraham, and as soon as some conflict arises in the place that God has promised him, how many of you understand that when God promised you a place, sometimes there's conflict within it? So Abraham decides that I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go to Egypt. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman. She was a fine woman. I imagine Sarah kind of looked like probably a Beyonce or something like that. You hear what I'm saying? So I got two people to meet when I go to heaven. I'm going to see Rachel first because Jacob did some crazy stuff for Rachel. So I'm going to see Rachel and then I'm going to see Sarah. All right? So the Bible says she was a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see you that they shall say, this is his wife, and that they will kill me for you. Now, you have to be some what? You have to be some fine woman for people to want to kill your husband for you. It's not any ordinary woman. Let's read on. So he says to her, say, I pray thee that thou art my sister, and it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So you know this plan is not sanctioned by God. Because if God is calling you to move into a place for provision, then he's going to provide for you. And you don't have to lie about it. You don't have to connive about it. That's why some of you are catching hell on your job. Because God didn't ask you to move there. You wanted a promotion so bad you done left what God had given to you. And you move yourself into a place. And now you're at that place. You're catching some hell in that place. Because God never asked you to be here. So now you have to do all sorts of stuff just to keep your peace in the place. This is what Abraham is finding himself up against. If God is moving you into a place, he's going to provide for you. He don't need your help. Anytime you find yourself having to set up your resume and put stuff in your resume that never existed, you know God ain't calling you for that job. I know you didn't come here trying to deal with the truth this morning. You thought we're just going to do a little bit of, you know, cultural event and have some food and go home. But I got some news for you today. We're going to deal with the truth. I say anytime you have to lie on your taxes, God ain't calling you to get that kind of refund. Come on, son. Talking about, oh, I know it's just time for my taxes. I always get but $6,000. It must just be God blessing me. No, baby, it ain't God blessing you if you don't lie on your deductibles. But have three kids, you only have two. Oh, well, my sister child spent a month. Yeah, that don't count. So here is Abraham, and he's putting this plan together. And he tells Sarah, listen now, when we go over there, just make sure you understand that you're not my wife, you're my sister. Verse 14, and it came to pass that when Abraham was coming to Egypt, that the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. They recognized it very quickly. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Sounds like a little Jerry Springer deal. Abraham done give up his wife. She's now in Pharaoh's house, along with all of his wives and concubines. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. Now Abraham is gaining favor because of his wife that is now his sister in the eyes of Pharaoh. And look at the favor that he gets. And he had sheep and oxen and donkeys, male and female, and men servants and maid servants. Remember, we are trying to find out where this woman in our text in chapter 21 came from. You remember it said the son of an Egyptian woman, Hagar. I'm trying to take you back to show you where this woman came from. This woman is a gift to Abraham because he lied about his wife Sarah being his sister. The Bible says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh. He punished Pharaoh's house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did you lie to me? Why did you tell me that she was your sister, not your wife? He said, so I might have taken her to me. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commended his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. So going back to our text, remember we're playing this movie backwards. So now we're in verse 9. And the Bible says, Abraham has his son Isaac. His son is about 3 to 4 years old. And he's throwing this great feast for his son. It's a time of excitement. It's a time of celebration. The promise is finally here. Everybody has been invited into this event. It's a great event. And the Bible says that Sarah, and I'm going to play it to you for in 20, can I bring it to 2012 for you? One of the things you must do when you read the Bible, you must imagine what's going on. You see, I don't know why people believe when you get saved, you ought to be stupid. So nobody asks questions. You have to ask questions of the text. You have to ask what is going on, and you keep asking until the Holy Spirit reveals to you. You don't just read it, well, I don't understand it, well, read it again. Instead of trying to read like a whole chapter, they'd probably try to read 2 verses. So listen, I'm going to bring this thing to you. I imagine this going on like this in the backyard. We have a big barbecue. It's the feast we throw in for the son. And all the people in the village has been invited. All of the wealthy people, all of the affluent people, they're sitting out there. Probably some guys playing dominoes. Some people have some, you know, if it was Dominica, can I just do it like it would be Dominica? Yeah. Okay, all right, good. So, you know, they have a little thing on the grill going on. Some people bring some food. Some people brought some pilau. Some people brought some stuff you will eat today. You know, some people brought some cakes and things going on. And Sarah went into the kitchen. I'm just imagining this. And while Sarah is in the kitchen preparing something to bring out another platter, Sarah peeps through the window. And she says something that caught her attention. When she looks out the window, she saw her son that is the center of the attention. Remember, this feast was thrown for Isaac. And now she sees something that disturbs her so greatly that she made a move quickly out of that. The Bible says she saw the Egyptian, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. But you must remember that this Egyptian son, Hagar's son, was really the seed of the fact that Abraham first lied and he told Pharaoh that this woman is not his wife, and Pharaoh gave him all of these gifts, including this woman was a gift to him. He came back now into the place God has called him. He finally has the son. But before he had the son, his wife Sarah said to him, listen, the plan of God is never coming to play. So why don't you sleep with Hagar? And why don't you have a child with Hagar? And I will raise this child as my own child because I don't believe that God is going to give me a child. You remember that? So now, this son, the son that she sees mocking her son, her promised son, is really the doing of the moves that she and her husband made. So if you're taking notes today, 3 things I want you to note about this. Whenever you're fighting for your promise, there are 3 things you must pay attention to. Number one, the Bible says, Sarah, she saw. You have to pay attention. You have to be observant. The Bible says, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham mocking, she saw him. If you pay close attention, that which is born after the flesh will always mock that which is born after the spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? Anything that you design in the flesh to accomplish what God had purposed for you in your life, and you went ahead of the plans of God, you went outside of the perimeters that God had set for you, you moved beyond the boundaries of the word of God, you moved beyond the scope which God had laid out for you, and you created something in your own doing. Anytime you do this, the Bible says that which came after the flesh will always mock that which is birthed after the spirit. That's the problem you have in today. Or if truth would be told, a lot of you know when you leave here, you can praise. But when you go to the house and you shut the door, here comes Ishmael. And Ishmael is mocking your Isaac. I know. In the flesh, it looked like, I imagine, Ishmael, if you really looked at it, Ishmael is now, anywhere from 17 to 18 years old. Because at the time he was born, the time Abraham had Isaac, Ishmael would have been 14 years. So if Isaac was weaned at 3 to 4 years, now you add that on to Ishmael's age, and he's a high teenage guy. And I can imagine, here is his little brother that is the center of the attention, and he recognizes it because now he knows that's the promised child. And what Sarah saw was probably Ishmael slapping Isaac behind the head. You know, back home we say giving you collar, getting a slap behind the head, and teasing him, yeah. Probably pulling his pants down or whatever it was. The Bible says that what was going on was Isaac was being mocked by his brother Ishmael, and now his mother, understanding the promise that is finally here, she looks out of the window and she sees this thing going on, and it disturbs her greatly. That's the sibling rivalry that we have, is we have created some Ishmaels that are now competing with the Isaacs that God finally birthed through in our life. Or some of you know what I'm talking about. In fact, some of you have the very same thing that's happening right now with Ishmael having, same father, but two different mothers. Oh, come on, somebody. I know you got some, baby mama drama sometimes. You understand what that is? You couldn't wait, and you went out, and you married who you thought you would have married. You didn't listen to anybody. You took no counsel, and now you have that child. You see, and yes, the problem with the church we live in today, everybody want to preach the grace of God, but nobody preaches that there are consequences for the actions that we take. I know it gets real quiet up in here. But that's the truth. I thank God for his grace. You hear what I'm saying? I said I thank God for his grace, because if it hadn't been for the grace of God, I would have been swallowed up myself. I don't know how I would stand. The things that God I deserve for my actions is death. That's the reality for everyone in here. But even then, God's grace covers sin. But the consequences live with us and live sometimes beyond our generation. This action of Ishmael mocking Isaac is still going on. And in your life, it may look different. It may not be with children, but it could be on your job. It may not be on your job, but it could be with your spouse. You hear what I'm saying? And these are the conflicts that we find ourselves in, if truth be told. I couldn't wait. I created Ishmael, and now that I have Isaac, Ishmael and Isaac is causing me some conflict in my life. And the Bible says Ishmael begins to chide with Isaac, and he slaps him at the head, and he mocks him, and he taunts him, and he's yeah. Every time you wake up in the morning, you look at other people going on in their life, and that's what's happening to you. You're being taunted because now you cannot enjoy your Isaac. You finally got that degree, but you're lonely as can be. You finally get the stuff, and your life is a miserable stuff. You cannot enjoy it because you've had some Ishmaels along the way, and there is conflict in your life. And that which is born after the flesh will always mark that which is born after the spirit. So the first thing she did, she recognized it. She saw. You're taking notes. She saw it. Then look at verse 10. Are you there with me this morning? Wherefore, she said unto Abraham. So she saw. Then she said. She recognized it. Now she's speaking about it. She said unto Abraham, cast out this bondswoman and her son. For the son of this bondswoman shall not be heir, or shall not inherit with my son, even with Isaac. She saw the conflict. She recognized it. A lot of you don't recognize that that's what the conflict is coming from your life. The conflict is between Ishmael and Isaac. It's between that which is born after the flesh and that which is of the spirit. Sometimes now when you see it, you say nothing about it. But this is not what Sarah did. The Bible says after she recognizes it, she speaks up and she said to Abraham, look, cast out this bondswoman and her son. For the son of this bondswoman shall not be here with my son, even with Isaac. But here's what is interesting about her statement. The first thing she says is to cast out the bondswoman. The issue is really with the son. But she says, before you deal with the son, I want you to deal with the woman that bring the son. You see, a lot of us, we spend time working on the fruit of our problem. And you want to fix the fruit, and you want to fix the fruit, and you want to fix the fruit, but you never kill the thing at the root. So anytime you don't kill it at the root, it can always be a more fruit. But Sarah was smarter than that. Sarah said, you see the stuff there? I don't scope the vibes. I don't looked at it. And I analyzed it. And the issue is the son is tormenting my son. But there would be no son if there was not this woman Hagar. So she says to her husband, I want you to do this for me. I want you to cast out this bondswoman. And while you're kicking her out, take the son with her. She says, cast out the bondswoman and her son. That's the second place we fail. Not only don't we recognize the difference between that which is born after the flesh and the spirit, but sometimes after we recognize it, we do nothing about it. There are people sitting in churches all across America today. And while they sit and they listen to that which is watered down from the pulpit, they see all sorts of conflicts. They see all sorts of decay in the characters of the men and women that stand in the pulpit before them. Under the disguise of ministry, they see all sorts of stuff. But sometimes you can be in so deep in something that it causes you not to speak up against it. That you say it's okay because to speak up would cause even more conflict. So I would rather just live with how things are and just skip the status quo as it is. But Sarah said, you know what? I have waited too long. I have just been through hell and high water. Is all they say in Dominica, hell and high water. I don't really know what that means. I don't think anybody really knows what it means, but I know it's typically said when things have been hard. I don't come through too much for me to sit down and keep living like this. If I see this one time, I know it's going to happen again. I'm going to deal with the stuff, but I'm not just going to deal with the sun. I'm going to deal with the issue from the very root. I want to uproot the thing because if I don't deal with the root, it will bear more fruit. So she says, Abraham, this is what we're going to do. And this is not something she's asking him. You remember the first time she went to Abraham about Hagar, what it was about. It was a look here now, honey. The way things look, don't look too good. And Dominica would say it look low. You know? And she said, when I analyze the thing and I just look at this stuff here, this business about me being child and all of that stuff is just a big joke. Why don't you take this woman? She belongs to us. She's our servant. Why don't you take her? She looks like she still has bearing hips and, you know, have a child. And we'll raise the child as our own. And you know, Abraham said, well, if that will make you happy, you know, I guess. That's fine. And they did. And now this is the same woman going to Abraham. And she's saying to him, listen, I want you to cast out this son. But what she don't understand is, this is Abraham's son. This is his child.
In fact, in chapter 18, he's trying to tell God that this might be the very way you should bless me. How many of you ever tried that? Tell God how he should bless. Oh, come on. Don't do that to me. Have you ever seen a job or seen something you're desiring? And you're like, but that had to be the job for me. God, if you would just give me that job, I would have everything that I need. How many of you prayed like this? How many of you have been to the place and say, that is the stuff that I need? And you begin to tell yourself all the things that's lovely about it. And we used to tell people, pray the will of God. Just say, Heavenly Father, if that's your will, I will live with it. And people know, no. I'm not going to ask God his will. I'm going to give God the will for my life. But that's what she did the first time around. But now she goes to the man and she says, Abraham, I want you to kick him out. Listen, verse 11. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Because of his son. The conflict is here. The rivalry is here. Son against son. And the Bible says, verse 12, and God said unto Abraham. You see, that's the piece we missed in chapter 14. God never said anything to Abraham the first time around about going to sleep with Hagar. Nobody included God. It was just Abraham and Sarah putting a plan together. It seemed right. Abraham did it. Boom, Hagar got pregnant. You know, immediately Hagar started to walk around the house like, you know, I'm pregnant. I'm the one here, you know. And because of, they had a first conflict. In fact, Sarah had kicked Hagar out. Then she had to come back in. And this time, the Bible says the thing is grievous to Abraham. But this is something different. Because now Abraham is having a conversation with God. If you're taking note, that's a good place to start. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, listen to her voice, for it's in Isaac I will establish your seed. Now, I don't know about you, how many of you married? Don't raise your hands in here, just look straight. Look straight. The first time your wife tells you to do something, it blew up big time. And now she's telling you on the same subject again. Now, because my wife is not here today, I have the liberty to tell you what I do. You hear what I'm saying? And I'll still sleep in my bed tonight. But you don't have that luxury today. So if you're sitting next to your spouse, just look straight. All right. Now, the first time she tell me, do this, and I did it, it caused some big problems for her. Now she's coming back with me and telling me, I want you to reverse that, and I want you to do this instead. Now, given that I am a Dominican man, you know, and I would say, Maguisa, I'd say, make up your mind. What is wrong with you? You cannot have your cake and eat it. It cannot be both ways. You cannot want me to have the child. When I have the child, you want me to kick out the child. Make up your mind. I probably wouldn't have this conversation be very brief. But I thank God that the Bible says Abraham this time consulted his heavenly father. And God himself says to Abraham, the last time you would have been better off not to follow the advice from Sarah. So you get one time when you shouldn't follow advice from your wife if you're taking notes. But the second time he says, listen to Sarah. And not just listen to Sarah, but do all what she says. God literally underwrites Sarah's plan. It's as if Sarah is hearing from God right now. I thank God for my wife, because I tell you what, a lot of times the actions that I need to take in my life, my wife confirmed them for what I'm hearing from God. It's so important to be on the same page with your spouse. And I know we cannot agree. I don't agree with myself all the times. I know it's hard to believe. Sometimes like, should I wear black? Should I wear white? I don't. I really don't. And then when you throw in somebody that is was brought up in a different home, in a different, you know, and then my wife likes to say she was brought up in the city, but truth be told, the place where I was brought up is really the city. You know, Kirvin can tell you that. But you know, she'd say I'm from the country. And there are several things that are a little bit different. Even if we are from a small island with 70,000 people, you'd think we would all be alike. But no. 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 I've got two girls, they're sitting back there. I don't understand how they could come from me and my wife and be so different. One likes structure, the other one, not so much. One likes to dress up and doll up herself, the other one, not so much. One is kind of more into athletics, and she watch sports with me. The other one, nah, not so much. But even within this framework, you can find these differences. But the Bible says this time around, he says, listen to your wife. Agree with her. Hearken to what she says and do all of it. And then God says in verse 13, and also of the son of the bondswoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. He's your child. I'm not going to just totally disregard him. I'm going to bless him too. But he ain't going to have the kind of blessing that's going to come from the son that is born after the spirit. And the Bible says, Abraham rose up early. So we saw it. Sarah saw. She said, she spoke about it. And listen to verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and he gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child. And what he did? And sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Bathsheba. Sarah saw. She spoke. She said. And now she sent him away. You must see it. You must speak up against it, and then you must separate from it. Because that which is born of the flesh will always cause conflict with that which is born of the spirit. Listen to what the New Testament says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 to 31, and I close with this. It reads in Galatians, this is the New Testament. I hope you know that everything in the New Testament is the revelation of that which was in the Old Testament. All right? So it's a continuation. For it is written, verse 24 of Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. One by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way. But his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively. For the woman, she represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the children that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, he's talking to me and you today. Now you, he says, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Verse 29. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way was persecuted. The son born by the power of the spirit, or persecuted, sorry, the son born by the power of the spirit, it is the same now. So listen, in your King James, it says, as it was then. You hear what I'm saying? This is in Galatians he's writing. And as he writes this letter, he's writing to the church. He's writing to you and he's writing to me. And he says, as it was then, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted that which was born after the flesh, that which was the plan of man, it persecuted the son born by the power of the spirit. just as it is now. He's saying the same thing that happened with Ishmael and Isaac is happening right now. And listen to what it says in verse 30. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. For the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. This is the call today. The call is that we kick out the bondswoman and her son. I know you know what the conflicts are in your life. I know you know what the Ishmaels are in your life. For a lot of you, it's your computer. I know. A lot of you have to make some decisions about some friends, some companies that you keep that you know is detrimental to the work and to the calling on your life. And you're trying to keep both in the house. It's hard to do it. You know it. Hence the sibling rivalry. You don't understand why there is so much conflict in your life. But if you look like Sarah, you will see that it's really the bondswoman. It's really the son. It's really the thing that you created when you couldn't wait on God. It's really that job that you wanted so badly that now you have to drive 50 miles one way to do it. And you angry in traffic. Oh yeah, it's Dallas. They're building every road. And by the time you get away from this job, you so spent that you cannot enjoy anything else. I don't know. I'm just making that up. I don't live with you all, so if it fits, well, good. That's one of the things that's good to speak in a guest church. You don't live with the people. You just get up and go. You hear what I'm saying? And for some of you, you didn't wait. You knew it. You knew it. You wanted it so badly that you had to, like Abraham, connive and lie and put some things that were not of God together to get it. And now that you finally have what God had promised you, that which you created is causing some conflict. So you must look, you must see. And then you must speak up against it and say, hold on a minute, this thing ought not to be. This ought not to be this way. And then more, you must separate from it. Paul, he writes in the book of Galatians and he says, even as it was then with Ishmael taunting Isaac, so it is for you and me. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the blessing of the word of God. This conflict is so severe that just about every war that is being fought right now in this world is because of this root of Ishmael. For the Bible says of Ishmael, his hands will be up against every man's hands. He will be a warrior, a wild man. And then every other nation hands will be against him. If Abraham had waited on God, we would not have the Middle East conflict that we have in. If Abraham had waited on God, I would be paying less for gas today. You hear what I'm saying? But that's just figuratively speaking in the flesh. That is true. But yet still in the spirit, he says, the same thing is happening, because what he always does is establish a pattern in the flesh to give us a spiritual message. And he's saying right now, if you had waited on me, if you had waited on me, for some of us, it's probably 10 years of waiting. Sometimes it's 15. Sometimes it's 25. Sometimes it's even beyond that. But he says, one thing is for certainty. That which is born after the flesh will always mock that which is born after the spirit. You want to have success in your spiritual life today? There is only one advice for you. Is to kick out the bondswoman and her son. In Jesus' name, God bless you today.